Now we're taking our Bible reading this evening again from the New Testament in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, and we will commence at the opening verse. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. Being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves, and said, Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence, and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, Let her alone, why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come afore and to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priest to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad, promised to give him money, and he sought how he might conveniently betray him. We'll end our reading there, and God again will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Now, I'd like you again to open your Bible with me there, please, at Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. And we're going to take as our text the last two verses that we read together, verses 10 and 11. And there it says, And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad, and promised to give him money. They sought how he might conveniently betray him. I want to leave a thought with you tonight on Judas Iscariot, or more in detail, on the problem of pretending to be a Christian. And when we look at the story of Judas Iscariot, we're looking at a story, of course, that is all too familiar to each and to every one of us. Story that is most repulsive, stomach churning. One of the saddest stories recorded anywhere in the pages of Holy Scripture. You know, the Bible says this: Be sure your sin will find you out. That's exactly what happened in the life of Judas Iscariot. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And Judas Iscariot, his sin, ultimately found him out. You and I know from the record of Scripture that he played the part of a disciple. He worshipped God with his lips, but tragically, his heart was far from God. You see, the story of Judas Iscariot reminds us of this solemn truth, that an individual can put on a great show of spirituality, dress, worship, behave, talk, like a Christian, mingling with God's people, identifying with God's work, and yet never have had a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Sadly, we can pretend to be a Christian and sadly, that is the story of Judas Iscariot, pretending to be a Christian. Now, there's four simple things that I want to leave with you tonight. And don't worry, we'll still be out on time. Sometimes when a preacher says, I want to say five things or six things, you wonder when in the world is this all going to end. But I tell you this, folks, it'll end right on time. We want to look, first of all, at his person. Judas Iscariot is actually mentioned 20 times in the Gospel and twice in the book of Acts. And yet, only on two occasions do we ever hear him speaking. Now, that is very, very significant because, in truth, Judas Iscariot had nothing really important to say. His whole life was a sham. When we think of his name, Judas Iscariot. Now, many a time people will call their offspring by biblical names, David and Jonathan, Peter and Paul, and there we have some of those in the church tonight. But have you ever heard of anyone calling their child Judas? You see, even to the ungodly man or woman in the world, that name is repulsive. And they would not want anyone in their family, no matter how wayward they would turn out to be identified with an individual like Judas Iscariot. And yet, that being so, the truth is, nothing wrong with the name Judas. And the problem wasn't with the name. The problem was with the person. You see, the name Judas, that is the Greek rendering of the Old Testament name Judah. And Judah was the son of Jacob, the father of the largest and most important and dominant of all the tribes of Israel. In fact, the name means Jehovah leads, or he whom Jehovah praises. Now that may suggest something. It may suggest that his parents had very high hopes for this boy's future. In all probability, they were a deeply religious family who hoped that their boy would grow up to be an individual who would be led by God and that his life would bring praise to the name of our Savior. It did not turn out that way. And little did they know, probably at his birth, that that boy indeed would grow up to be led by someone, but not by the Savior, but rather led by the devil himself and to bring praise to his name. And of course, it's true tonight of many a Christian home. Many a Christian parent has sadly had their hopes dashed by the decisions and lifestyle of some of their offspring. And maybe like the prodigal, they've gone down a pathway that was never anticipated by the family. And Judas stands as living proof that having a godly heritage, that is not enough to save our soul. Having Christian parents, that cannot guarantee our salvation. But rather there must be a conscious turning from sin, an embracing of the gospel of Christ and a trusting of the Lord Jesus, that soul-saving, life-changing encounter with the Son of God, something, sadly, that Judas Iscariot did not have. But not only the name Judas, but then also Iscariot. And that suggests maybe something further, because that name Iscariot may well suggest the place where they lived. His surname Iscariot. That word is derived actually from a Hebrew word ish, meaning man or chariot, and in all probability referred to the town of Chariot. That, of course, was a humble farming town located south of Jerusalem, a sort of a backward place, an out-of-the-way place. It wasn't one of those great cities where sin was practiced every night and on a daily basis. In all probability, being brought up in a sheltered background. And you know, folks, that in itself is privilege. There's many a young person kicks against the pricks because of their sheltered background and their disciplined Christian upbringing. And Judas Iscariot might well have enjoyed that, coming from the place that he came from. So the name Judas Iscariot simply means the man of Chariot. And yet, in spite of those privileges, he's far from grace and far from God. Judas was the only one of the 12, you will understand, that was not from Galilee. The rest of the disciples, they were from the northern part of the nation, and many of them knew one another, and indeed some of them were related, and many of them were brothers. But Judas Iscariot was the stranger in the group, not coming from Galilee. And sadly, also, he is a stranger to God's salvation. Friend, I trust you're not a stranger to God's salvation. Now, Judas Iscariot was not a stranger to the truth, but he was a stranger to grace. The greatest privilege in all the world is to know Christ, whom to know is life eternal. And I trust that you know Christ as your Savior this evening. Moving on quickly from his person to his privileges. Because Judas Iscariot enjoyed many of the same privileges that all of the others enjoyed, all the others of the disciples. The Bible tells us in Mark's Gospel, chapter 3, in the verse 13, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would. And then in verse 19, it speaks of Judas. There is no question but that Judas was one of the 12, chosen by the Lord, no doubt, to fulfill a divine plan and purpose. That did not mean that he had no mind of his own and that he was no longer responsible for the actions that he would take. And the Bible reminds us, of course, that the Lord knew all about Judas, in fact, referred to him as when he said, "You have I chosen but one of you. Is a devil." And we must always keep in mind a truth that we made mention of this morning, that the Lord knows all about us and every detail. There's nothing hid from his all-seeing eye. Every thought, every word, every action, every notion in our mind, every attitude, everything, the Lord knows us all by detail. And he knew Judas Iscariot. Listen to what he says about Judas Iscariot. Now, over in Psalm 41 in verse 9, very prophetic words were spoken. And it says this, "Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." That was a very, very prophetic statement in the Psalms. Then when we come to John's Gospel, chapter 13, in the verse 18, Jesus tells us that this prophecy would be fulfilled in his betrayal. Because, referring to Judas, Jesus said, "He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me." Then in Psalm 55, in the verses 12 through to 14, the Bible says this, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company." That is a reference also to the great betrayal by Judas Iscariot of the Lord Jesus Christ. Note what the Bible says, "We took sweet counsel together, we walked to the house of God in company." It is a very sad and a very solemn truth that there are many people across this beloved province this evening, and they would not miss the house of God on the Lord's day, and yet they are strangers to God's grace. They come and they go from the house of the holy. Probably Judas Iscariot followed for a different reason. You see, even though the Bible says there, speaking of those prophecies of what Judas Iscariot would do, that in no way diminishes his privileges, nor indeed his responsibilities. He was with Christ, he heard Christ, he saw his miracles, but he was never saved by Christ. And you know, that puts him into a very privileged position. And there are many Ulster people, and they are in very, very privileged positions tonight, in a privileged position that many people across this universe know nothing about. You know, there's a generation growing up in Britain today, and they've never, ever seen the inside of a church building. And maybe if they did see the inside of it and heard what went on, they wouldn't hear a word that would enlighten their soul to salvation. And yet there are many in Ulster, they know the gospel inside out, and when they hear it, they're not hearing anything new or something for the first time. They have been nurtured, cradled, born into the gospel. And yet, strangers to God's grace. Probably, Judas Iscariot followed the Lord because he believed that the Savior would defeat Rome and liberate Israel. He was not following the Lord Jesus Christ as a savior. He was following Jesus as a man. He saw him as a revolutionary. Judas was the tare among the wheat, a pretender. A pretender among those who were genuine followers of Christ. His whole religion was a pretense. Little wonder the Bible exhorts you and I to make our calling and election sure. I had a man call me one night, and he said, "I need to see you." Well, I said, "You can see me. Just come to the manse." He says, "I can't come to the manse." Well, I said, "Then just go round to the church." He says, "I can't go round to the church." Well, I said, "Where do you want to see me?" He said, "Can I see you in Drumrock car park?" I said, "Of course you can see me in the car park." So I met him there in the car park. Soon became clear why he didn't really want to be seen coming to the manse or seen going round to the church, lest maybe when we were there someone would come in. And so he stepped into my car, And he said, you know, for years I've been pretending to be a Christian. And he said, you yourself know that I never ever miss the prayer meeting. And I'm involved in the youth work. And when the church is going out to drop leaflets through doors, I'm there. But he says, I'm not saved. And why I didn't want to go round to the church or come round to the manse in case someone see me, because they all think I'm a Christian. But he says it's a whole pretense. That night, he gave his life to the Lord. And he stepped out of the car and he raised his hand. He says, I don't care who knows, because now I know I'm saved. It was a privilege for Judas Iscariot to sit with Christ, to talk with Christ, to eat with Christ and his disciples and his followers. Yet tragically, he didn't know Christ. Again, the Bible reminds us that man looks on the outward appearance, and outwardly everything would have seemed right. But God looketh on the heart. But then I want to move on to his problem. And the real problem is not in the man's name, but rather in the man himself. In John's Gospel, chapter 12, in the verse 6, the Bible says this. This he said, not that he cared for the poor. Now, we know the story of the alabaster box of ointment. It's recorded in different portions of the scriptures. And when Mary broke this box of ointment, which he said was worth more than 300 pence, that was over a year's work. People worked for a penny a day. And 300 pence and over 300 pence in all possibility, it was the full amount of a person's wages for a year. And amazingly, Judas Iscariot said, when she broke it on Christ, it's a waste. Shows you he had no relationship with Jesus. Because anything given for Christ and anything done for Christ is never a waste. But this he said, not that he cared for the poor, because that's what he said, it should have been given to the poor, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And had the bag, and bear what was put in it. Very, very significant. He was a sinner. He was a pretender. Jesus said he's a thief. He carried the bag. You see, that verse says that he had the bag and bear that which was put therein. And the word bear, that means to take away, to pilfer. And what Judas Iscariot was actually doing was this. He was pilfering away at the money, pretending to do what was right, but doing what was wrong. And there are many people tonight, they know what is right, but they do what is wrong. Like Judas Iscariot, or Pontius Pilate, he knew what was right because he said, I find no fault in Christ. Yet he did what was wrong. He crucified him. And sadly, across the land, there's many tonight know what's right, but they do what is wrong. And they know the right thing to do is to give their life to Jesus Christ, but they will not do it. That is doing wrong. And Judas was a thief, a pretender. And always remember this, folks. There are many people who are thieves, and it doesn't mean they're pilfering at money. You see, the Lord has a rightful claim on all our lives, on every individual's life, anywhere and everywhere across this universe, because the Bible says that we were made by God and we were made for God, and many will withhold their life from God. They rob God of their life. Knowing what's right, doing what's wrong. And the problem with Judas Iscariot, Jesus is not his Lord, but rather money was his God. In that chapter of 12 of John's Gospel, Mary and her ointment, and Judas said, why wasn't it sold for 300 pence? But Mary had worked hard to get that for Christ. But then Judas had no interest in Christ. And I trust you have an interest in Christ. That you not only know about him, but that you know him savingly. And in Matthew 26, he called the whole thing a waste. It was a waste for her to anoint the Savior. Now, of course, that is the perception that many have of you and me tonight. It's a waste giving your life to the Lord. It's a waste going to church and singing hymns and saying prayers and listening to preaching. It's all a waste. And many would consider it folly to follow Christ. Hence, Judas Iscariot betrays the Savior for 30 pieces of silver. That was the price of a slave. That's what he thought of Christ. You know, the Bible says, what think ye of Christ? Friend, what do you think of Christ? And what worth do you put upon him? And up worth to make him your Savior, to live and to labor for him. Then we have his punishment. Oh, the Bible reminds us that sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And it reminds us that our sin will find us out. And it reminds us that whatever we sow, we will reap. And now there's coming a moment of reaping in the life of Judas Iscariot. He has sowed his seeds of sin. Now the harvest is coming to fruition, and he's about to reap. And in Matthew chapter 27, and the verses 3 and 4, it says this, then Judas, which had betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what's that to us? And there is the evidence that Judas Iscariot, like Cain, is finding that his punishment is greater than he can bear, but his punishment was the price of his sin. And sin pays bad wages, and the way of the transgressor is hard. And Satan is a hard taskmaster. There are people who will say, it's hard to be a Christian. They've got that all wrong. It's not hard to be a Christian. It's the devil that's a hard taskmaster. And the wages of sin is death. Now you can see the despair that's setting into his life, because after Jesus was arrested, Judas Iscariot began to have pangs of remorse, but no tears of repentance. And there are many people who have remorse, but have no repentance. and he tried to return the money, but it was too late. The deed was done. His soul was sold. Christ was now on the way to the cross. Satan had used Judas Iscariot for his own purposes, and then he discarded him like a piece of waste. That's what Satan does to a life that follows him in sin. Because Satan and sin is like the glamorous adverts on TV and all the rest of it. They promise so much, but they deliver so little. Disappointment, death, disillusionment, damnation. And even at this point, Judas Iscariot is not really interested in salvation. He's not really interested in getting right with God. He has crossed the line and the door of mercy is now closed forever. He's down the road of no return. He's outside the pale of redemption. See, it's always a dangerous thing to go on too long in sin. And as the hymn writer puts it, how long will you go on in sin? How long will God forbear? And there is a line, we know not when, where a time we know not when, and it seals the destiny of men for glory or despair. Then you have his death. Judas Iscariot came to an awful end. And the soul that dies without Christ will come to a very sad end. And he threw down the money in the temple and he went out, and the Bible says he hanged himself. He couldn't even get that right. Matthew 27:5 says, and he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed, and he went and hanged himself. And why I say he didn't get that even right. And when we don't get the things right that should be right, then everything goes wrong. Because the Bible says in Acts 1:18, now this man purchased a field with a reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and his bowels gushed out. Wherever he hanged himself, that obviously collapsed, and he plunged down headlong, and he burst asunder. Tragic end to a tragic life. And in Acts 1:25, the Bible says, he went to his own place. Sad, solemn, and searching. The Bible says, what shall the end be of them who obey not the gospel? And Judas's pretense could not bluff God. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. In the Old Testament, King Saul, the first king of Israel, remember he said this, 40 years, 38 years of those 40, he was out of touch with God. And he said, I have played the fool, and erred exceedingly. So with Judas Iscariot. And so it will be with all. And there's many who pretend to be righteous and pretend to be a Christian and pretend that all is well. And when you talk to them, they will try to tell you all is well, when all is not well. And friend, we need to make sure it is well with our soul. And we can, Because the Lord says through John, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we are told in Acts chapter 3 to repent and be converted that our sins might be blotted out. And in John's Gospel chapter 1 and the verse 12, as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God. But Judas never received him. Friend, have you received him? Or is my life a pretense? But that matter can be settled this night, simply coming and trusting in the Savior.